everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Haar.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Session 26 of the Trade Addicts Podcast. I have no playful banter to throw back and forth, so we're just going to jump right into the depressing stuff. News and notes. Jimmy GQ is Jimmy torn ACL, and is Jimmy on the IR? CJ Beathard time?
tough break, man. I hate to see this crap. And you just knew, right? I mean, if you saw it happen,
yeah.
I was watching Red Zone channel. First week, this is the first week I've had it this year because I've been at games and then away. And so finally ordered it and got it all hooked up and everything. And was sitting there watching it, and I saw that happen, and it was like,
You saw he went to plant and his knee got all wobbly, and you're just like, nope.
Yeah, those non-contact injuries with the legs, you just, I mean, it's a 90% chance that it's a torn ACL. I tell you what, that San Francisco's lucky too, because it looked like Breida was really injured too, and then he ended up coming back into the game. So, but yeah, this is unfortunate for the Niners and tough, obviously, for Jimmy GQ owners too here. So hope he can recover and come back next year stronger, I guess.
Yep. All right. So that sucks. Evan Engram has an MCL injury and is out 3 to 4 weeks. I don't know. I'm guessing it's a sprain. I have no idea what he actually did. I don't care. Is that mean to say? But, you know, tight end is a dumpster fire. Let's just say it like it is. And he's one of the guys that we depend on to be somewhat consistent. So this makes everything worse. I mean, are you doing anything with this news? I can't imagine 3 to 4 week injury changes his value, but do you think this changes the tight end landscape at all?
Not really. I mean, hopefully he'll return after a couple of games. For me, really, the only difference is Sterling Shepard might see a little bit of an uptick with Engram being out. I mean, he had 6 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown this past week in Houston. So I could see that. I could see him maintaining a little bit more production. And then obviously I think Saquon Barkley is going to get just a ridiculous amount of targets out of the backfield.
More than 14 catches a game?
Yeah, really. I mean, he's going to get probably double digit targets almost every week. And this, you know, this will keep him up there, I think, while Ingram's out for sure. Tough news there too. I mean, obviously people that have Engram are counting on him to be their tight end one. But hopefully it's only a couple weeks and he can return to form sooner rather than later.
Yep. All right, well, on to our last week's new segment, take two of Make Amends. Brian, what are you making amends for this week?
Yeah, so I have two, and they're both Chicago Bears. First and foremost, I'm making a little bit of amends for Allen Robinson. I have been, obviously, a huge A-Rob fan. I think we've talked about it many, many times on the show, and I've been a big fan of his since his college days, so it's to me, this isn't as much of an indictment of Robinson as it is just the Chicago offense in general. And Mitch Trubisky, I thought he would be further along than he is at this point.
He's don't tread on my takes right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you handle that part. But I just, Robinson, you know, he's getting, you know, a lot of the air yard stuff is, which I don't claim to understand completely, but you know, he's had a lot of opportunity there. It's just not turning into a lot of fantasy points. So I'm backtracking a little bit on Robinson. I just expected him returning from the injury, going to a new offense that, you know, was supposed to be kind of a little bit more explosive. I just thought he was going to take that step back to where he was, you know, in Jacksonville. the 1400 year. I wasn't necessarily expecting that, but I thought he was going to, you know, be in that range again. And he hasn't done that so far this season. So he's been all right. I mean, he hasn't totally stunk it up either, but just not getting the production that I kind of expected. And then the second guy is Tariq Cohen. And I don't know if you remember, but back in our Bold Takes episode, I projected Cohen to have an Alvin Kamara type season, and that is not happening. So that's my make amends. You know, he just, Jordan Howard's the guy that's, you know, looking good in that backfield. Even I'm catching
surprised by the volume he's catching the ball.
Yeah, exactly. So, so that's a little surprising to me. So I'll backtrack on that one a little bit. And, so this kind of segues for you too into your first, amends. Yeah.
I also have two amends to make, and one of them is the general of the offense that Brian is apologizing for. Mitch Trubisky and Marcus Mariota. These two guys I was riding high on in the offseason, into the season, through draft season, trading for them, everything. And I mean, it's not even looking like it's new offense issues. They're looking kind of bad. And I know Mariota's dealing with the elbow thing, but even before that and at the end of the game this week where he came in and played, it just was ugly looking. It was indecisive. Again, Mariota has the elbow, so his throws weren't looking great, but we can't expect every new offense with a fancy new head coach and offensive coordinator to be the Rams. Not everyone's going to be McVay and Goff, which I think is a little bit of why we had so much expectations for Biscuits and maybe Mariota a little bit with LaFleur coming in. It's not happening. Maybe, you know, in next year, maybe there'll be a thing, especially with Corey Davis and Allen Robinson needing these two guys to produce so they can produce. It's hurtful. And I am sorry for all the people that have listened to my tooting of the hype train horn. My bad.
Yeah. We're definitely not alone in that. I mean, I think it's natural anytime these offenses get, you know, when they have talented players and they just aren't performing, right? And then they get a little boost when a new coordinator comes in or a new head coach comes in that's offensive minded and innovative and has had success on the offensive side of the ball from where they're coming from. You know, I think it's naturally, you know, I think people get excited about that. And exactly what you said. I mean, people, you know, Sean McVay, he screwed everybody because, you know, what the Rams are doing in the last two seasons or season and three games is just unbelievable. And I think, you know, some expectations are built off of that thinking, oh, well, if it happened in LA, it can happen in Chicago or it can happen in Tennessee. So, but yeah, I'm right there beside you on a lot of these guys for sure in those two offenses.
All right. So now you know what we feel sorry about. So let's get you some information for us to feel sorry about for next week. Let's get into the main session.
Main session.
Love it. All right. Keep trade by. You know what? I'm going first because you have a lot more guys to talk about. So we're going to get my guys out of the way. My first keep, Andrew Luck. I am good with Andrew Luck. I have him in two or three leagues. Now, I know everyone's going to be saying they took him out of the game for the Hail Mary. I know they're going to say that it's been a lot of dinking and dunking. Not worried at all. Here's the thing about the Hail Mary thing. This is the way I described it when someone brought it up in one of our chat rooms. If Andrew Luck needed to throw the ball 40, 50, 60 yards in a play, he'd be able to do it. That's probably not an issue. But when you are running a play designed for you to take five steps, close your eyes, and chuck as hard as you can, the way you will end up extending your shoulder and arm is different than when you're doing it in the middle of a play. There's no reason to risk Luck in that kind of situation. It's not like they put Jacoby Brissett on anytime they have T.Y. Hilton running a post route. Not worried about the Hail Mary thing. Just don't care. And the dink and dunk thing, I mean, are we surprised that the Colts have a terrible offensive line? I mean, good. They're finally changing something to protect Andrew Luck a little. The dude's still running for 30-yard runs and taking hits on his way down and getting up and being fine and still throwing the ball. The balls he throw look fine. They're not last year Peyton Manning balls or anything. I'm not concerned at all. I'm not looking to trade Luck. If I can get Luck at a low price because people are worried, I'm all about it. But to me, don't panic. Keep them. Ride that wave.
I like it. Yeah, I'm on board the Luck train.
All right, cool. And trade. My trade guy is Kareem Hunt. This makes me a little sad. I actually don't have any dynasty shares of him. I have one redraft share I'm trying to bounce to get Juju, you know, see how that goes. But here's the thing. That offense is too good. Kansas City is unreal right now, and they don't need Kareem Hunt to be Kareem Hunt from last year. I think that's the problem. He has, what, 3 targets the entire season? He had 1 catch last week. I think he maybe has 2 catches on the season. No, he didn't even have a catch last week. He has 3 targets and 1 catch, which I think was the first week. They don't need him to be what he was because Mahomes is just too damn good.
Yeah, he had like 100 yards receiving in that first game, his first career game against New England. He caught like a 70 some yard catch. I mean, he just out of that first game last year, he literally had like 115 yards receiving, 117 yards receiving. He's got one catch so far in 3 games.
If I was
it's insane.
A smarter man and a less lazy guy, I'd go look up his stats from last year, take away the receiving stats and see what he was as a rusher itself. But sorry, guys and ladies, not going to happen. But he's still a good running back. They still do run the ball in the red zone. And with the amount of deep throws, there's bound to be dudes tackled at the 2-yard line, especially if Calvin Johnson magically comes back, because that dude loved getting tackled at the 1. Don't know where that little anger came from. So he'll still have that touchdown upside. He'll still have decent amount of yards, but you did not draft or trade for Kareem Hunt to give you 65 yards. But he just scored 2 touchdowns. So if you could be like, nah, trust me, this dude's still scoring touchdowns. And if you can get top, man, you're not getting first round startup value for him anymore. But if I can get second round, I think I would take it at this point.
Yeah, I like that too. I mean, I still like Hunt. I think he's a good player. I think that as the year goes on and defenses maybe take a rookie quarterback a little more seriously.
Yeah.
In Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I know he's not a rookie.
He's more or less a rookie. Yeah.
Right. I mean, he played 1 game prior to this season. So, you know, I have a feeling that at some point somebody's going to catch up to that and make adjustments and figure out a way to, you know, contain Mahomes on occasion. I still think he's going to get his. Mahomes is an unbelievable player, but mm-hmm. they're also, I do think there's room for Hunt to get back into his 2017 role a little bit. But I don't have a problem trying to trade him now. I mean, his value is still super high. You know, and like you said, you can probably get second round startup value for him in a deal. And there's a lot of players I'd rather own, I think, you know, in that range.
Can get your guy Melvin Gordon straight up, which before the season you'd have to add to Melvin Gordon to get Hunt.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we're on the same page. The player's good. The situation got a little worse. And I mean, you for a first round startup pick, you want talent and situation.
Yep.
All right, cool. So my buys, you have your bay, I have mine. Mine's Baker Mayfield. So my buys are Baker and Landry. These guys are beautiful together. We got so little time, but so much happened. First of all, in general, Landry was getting those targets. Landry was still getting double-digit targets, but they were better targets. And now he gets a quarterback that can get him the ball and one that will make those ballsy throws. Ballsy, you know, Baker grabs his crotch. nice. So I think I tweeted out earlier in the week, I will pay whatever I have to get Baker in a super flex league. And
so this is your buy high guy now.
This is my buy high guy. I am all in on the Baker train. And Landry was a bit of a buy for me. My bold take was Landry will be top 12 wide receiver, and he'll do it in wide receiver one-like fashion. And this completely makes that more realistic. It's less bold now. It's going to happen. That's what, bam, going to happen. I'd be all over buying these guys. Superflex League, Baker, multiple firsts at this point. I mean, he was the 102, so saying multiple future first isn't the biggest. But if I have to throw... Someone asked if Trubisky and a first gets you Baker, and I said no, more. Like I need more if I have Baker to even think about doing something like that. And yes, I know I'm sitting here gushing over him, so my opinion's probably a little higher than most. But Trubisky in a random like a lower end, a mid QB2 plus a random first does not get Baker to me.
Yeah, I think he's worth multiple firsts. I mean, I think he's worth probably two firsts plus maybe a little piece at this point. Here's the thing. I think that's a fair deal, and I think depending on the team, that's that's a deal that somebody would consider making. He's another one of those guys, though, just like Mahomes has taken off. If Baker, 3 weeks from now, he's either going to be around the same value that he is now or add another first plus a piece. You know what I mean? it just depends on what happens in these next couple of weeks. I think there are a lot of people like him a lot. And I think, there's a faction that don't like him too because of the off the field stuff. Well, not really the off the field. I mean, he had one incident, but the crotch grabbing stuff and the overconfidence, some people would say. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying some people don't like that cocky attitude or whatever. But the guy, I'm excited by what I saw when he came to that game on Thursday night, and I'm excited for the next couple of weeks. Not from a personal standpoint, because the Steelers, they may beat the Steelers this year. I mean, they tied them already. And they legit might beat them this year. So, and with Mayfield in there, I mean, good God, that defense might just give up 50 to him. I don't know. Anyways, no, for me, yeah, I like these a lot. I think I'm perfectly fine buying Baker high. I like Landry. I think the price on Landry, based on what happened Thursday and what's probably going to happen in the next couple of games, is going to be tough. I might get in more on Callaway and Higgins and Njoku and those other weapons in that offense, just because they're not going to demand the type of price that a guy like Jarvis Landry is going to. But that is a match made in heaven. It really is. I mean, those two guys just seem like they're made to play together.
See, so I almost just wrote the Browns offense on here, but the reason I kept it down to Baker and to Landry is I think you're buying them and getting their production. For someone like Callaway and Njoku, you're buying the hope of, you're buying, dude, my brain is not working today. You're buying hope. You're buying the possibility of points. I mean, Callaway had 10 targets last week, and I don't know how many of that came in the second half with Baker, but that's a ridiculous amount of targets. But Landry pretty much had 10 catches. I mean, yeah, and the thing is, I was trying to get Callaway away from a couple of people. I've heard 2 seconds. I've heard a first. I wouldn't pay first.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay first.
I almost did 2 seconds. If I had 2 seconds, I probably would have just done it because my name's Dynasty Adams and I have a trading problem. But to me, I have no problem paying what seems to be an early future first for Jarvis Landry. And I think that could still get it done because people still... Landry still has that stigma on him and the Browns still have that stigma on them, even though it's not deserved. Like, people need to realize that they are up and coming and that offense and defense need to be respected.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like all those. That was a good list.
Nice. So let's see how nice yours is.
So I will get started with my keeps. And my first one is Juju. Juju Smith-Schuster. Holy crap.
I don't even know if you could buy him if you wanted to.
What the heck? Juju is balling right now. Third in the league in receiving yardage after 3 weeks. I mean, just getting it done. I mean, he's had his so week one, he had 5 catches for 119 yards. That's his worst week.
That's like when you say that Julio Jones was bad last year.
I mean, it's crazy. Now, he's only caught one touchdown. So if you're, you know, if you're one of those people, then maybe you're not quite as happy. But I mean, goodness. I mean, he's getting targeted every bit as much as Antonio Brown.
Yep.
And he's making plays. I mean, he catches the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So he's five catches that first week, 13 catches in week two against Kansas City, and nine last night against Tampa.
Well, I think you hit it a little bit in your sadness about Cleveland being good. That defense is not letting them have positive game scripts.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not. And that's going to help those offensive guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, Juju did it last year. He had an unbelievable rookie year. He had 917 receiving yards last year and seven touchdowns.
If only he was part of the offense the entire year, I think he would have been top two startup draft pick just because of his age and what he would have done the entire year.
So yeah, Juju, you know, he really has been every bit as targeted and successful this year as Brown. So good luck trying to get this guy at this point. And if you have him, I mean, you know, some might say trade him. I would keep him. He looks like Juju looks like a star to me. So
seems like it's real. Yeah.
Yep. So and then moving on from there, my other keep are the LA Rams wide receivers. And it doesn't matter which one you have. And it doesn't matter if you have multiple. You can start them both in your lineup or all three of them in your lineup. I mean, all three of these guys are producing right now at a pretty nice clip. So you know, that offense with McVay, it has just been, it's been unreal. And Jared Goff has improved tremendously over the last two seasons. You know, Gurley running the ball opens things up for that pass game so well as well. So so Juju and the Rams receivers are my keeps. I also had two guys for trades. The first one is Tyler Boyd, the wide receiver from Cincinnati. He is coming off a pretty big game. He had 6 catches for 132 yards and a touchdown this past week at Carolina. Boyd's a guy that's he's produced in the last two games. He also, the week previously at Baltimore, 6 catches as well, 91 yards and a touchdown. And that role, you know, with AJ Green. And we didn't mention this earlier, but he came off the field with a groin injury. And I'm not sure, you know, if
I looked it up and they said that there are more information coming. That's why I didn't bother bringing it up, even though you just brought it up anyway.
Yeah, sorry. yeah, so, I mean, but if he's hobbled by that at all, that could open things up even more for Boyd over the next week or two. So you don't have to sell him right now, but now is not a bad time. I don't see him doing this long term. Personally,
do you think he's a thing? Like, to me, he's the number two receiver they've needed. Like, I mean, you have AJ being AJ, you have John Ross running far, fast, and since they can't count on any of their tight ends, that leaves Tyler Boyd, who, I mean, kind of tight endish. I mean, even He was that guy in college too.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big body, 6'2", 197. I don't know. I mean, I think here's the thing. If it, the thing to me is, I mean, Brandon LaFell was there as the wide receiver too for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Boyd was there too, and I know he was young, and I know he was injured a little bit and different things, but you would have figured he could have stepped into that. I don't know. I don't know if he's a thing or not. I don't, you know, he's producing at a lot higher rate than he has previously. Will he continue to do that? I don't know. Here's the other thing. Andy Dalton has been really good this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Andy Dalton's very good. So, so I expect him to come back a little bit more towards the Andy Dalton we all know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will affect Boyd more than it will Green and more than it will the tight ends and Geo and Mixon.
If you have Tyler Boyd on your team, do you think it's realistic to get a future first for him?
I think the team would have to be extremely wide receiver needy.
You don't think he's reached that kind of...
I don't think
he's reached... Hype is the wrong word, but, you know... Yeah,
not first. I mean, I could see an early second.
Okay.
I could see a, you know, a sec, early to mid second. I don't think a... I don't think a first yet.
All right, cool.
And then Vance McDonald as well, who is a player that I really like.
Unless you play in a points per stiff arm league.
Oh, my word, right? Like that dude, Conti.
He should have just retired. He should have just walked off the field.
He's not playing again this season. Legit. Like,
really?
Yeah, blew his knee out, I think. I don't know if it was on that play or not, but
yeah, I mean, his knee's fine. It's pride. He tore his pride.
Yeah, he was so embarrassed. He went over to the sideline and like he was like, "Guys, I have to tear my ACL, so somebody hit me."
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was an unbelievable stiff arm. That play reminded me it's not to the level of this, but that play reminded me of the earthquake run that Beast Mode had in the playoffs against the Saints. That's literally my favorite run in NFL history. It's unbelievable run, and the fact that he dove backwards into the end zone holding his crotch is the funniest thing. I can't even watch that and not laugh my butt off. And there's, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a video of a guy that does a parody over top of it. It's not suitable for work or kids. So, but if YouTube that Beast Mode run and just kind of look around in there, and there's a guy that does like a thing over top of it, kind of a play by play over top of it. It's freaking hilarious. But anyways, that moment kind of reminded me of that, because Beast Mode ran over like six guys on the way to the end zone that during that run. So, but yeah, that was an unbelievable play. But anyways, back to why I'm trading Vance McDonald. It's exactly that. I just, you know, he made a splash play. He went over 100 yards receiving on only four catches.
It was like a 65-75 yard touchdown.
So. Right. And this is a guy. So I'm not saying sell him for dirt cheap. I'm just saying if you can get some type of value out, now might be the time. I don't think Jesse James is going away entirely. Mm-hmm. Now, in this particular game, he was basically non-existent.
One target.
Yeah. So, but last week, James was the one that caught five passes for over 100 yards. So, that's why I'm just not sure how this tight end situation is going to shake out entirely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think McDonald is a better talent than James is as far as being a receiving tight end, you know, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And then when he does get healthy, you know, he's seen a lot of targets when he's been healthy for the most part. I can't get a feel for how this thing's going to shake out long term. So if there's somebody that's going to pay you like Vance McDonald is the unquestioned starting tight end in the Pittsburgh Steelers offense, mm-hmm. then I'd go ahead and maybe look into moving him for that value.
Yeah, I can get behind that, especially because you're right. Even though that team's going to be airing the ball out, tight end isn't really someone you want your tight end to be the guy. So Vance McDonald, Jesse James makes it muddied. And if you can get something after a guy stiff arms another dude into oblivion, you might as well take advantage of it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then moving into my buys, I apologize. I kind of went crazy here. I actually have three guys on here. So I'm cheating the system a little bit. But my first guy on here is George Kittle. And the reason I'm saying buy him is because Jimmy G going down is, you know, I think a lot of people kind of assume that that offense is just going to go to, you know, go to crap without Garoppolo in there. The reality is that beat hard. Yes, I just did that.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell do you have to cut that out? How the hell do you pronounce his name? Is it Beathard?
That's what I say.
So the reality is that CJ Beathard, when he was playing with Kittle last year, they kind of had a connection going. And I think long-term, especially, Jimmy GQ is going to return, right? Mm-hmm. Garoppolo is going to come back. Now's the time to buy Kittle. This guy was an emerging tight end. He had five catches for almost 80 yards in that game on Sunday. I just think this is a good time to buy him, and you're going to be able to get him for a lot lower than he will be valued at moving into next season. So I would take the opportunity with the injury to Garoppolo and the uncertainty with that offense and go out and get this guy.
Like it.
My second guy is Corey Davis. And we talked about Mariota earlier in this hour. So, you know, I don't like what's going on in that offense. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like what's going on in that offense and with Davis. The Twitterverse is starting to turn.
Mm.
You can just feel, you know, you can feel ebbs and flows of value with people, right? In just the conversations you have or the things you see on Twitter and different things. And I'm seeing that people are starting to move. Yeah, I mean, there are Corey Davis truthers. Okay. I'm probably borderline there.
I'm pretty there.
And then there are people that have had him on their team since they drafted him in rookie drafts, and they're not real happy right now.
Yeah.
This is a guy that, you know, they took probably first overall, maybe second overall, if they took, you know, Fournette went before him in that draft. But, you know, I mean, they're expecting production. They drafted him to produce. Mm-hmm. They sat through it last year through the injury issues and all that. He has a pretty big playoff game against New England. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, so the expectations are still pretty high coming into this season. And now three games in, it's like, what in the heck is going on? So if there are owners like that, I would take advantage of that. I still believe in Corey Davis's talent.
Yep.
I still believe that Marcus Mariota, I'm not high on him. I never have been. Mm-hmm. I've seen Jameis Winston the whole time. I think those two guys are, I mean, they're not in terms of their style of play per se, just in terms of the production mirrored. I mean, their production, their numbers are almost identical like every year. It's scary when you look at it. And I've never been a big Mariota guy. Having said that, I also don't think he's now like in the bottom half of quarterbacks in the league, which it feels like, again, that narrative around Tennessee, and Derrick Henry's getting caught up in all that stuff too.
Oh, my poor guy.
So, you know, I don't know. I feel like this could be a time again to capitalize on everybody kind of being down on that offense and frustrated with the situation that Davis has been in and the lack of production, and go out and buy the talent. And then the third guy here.
No, wait, hold on, because I still want to. Because yeah, we talked about this before. We said that when I was talking about Mariota and Trubisky, it's a new offense. It's a new head coach. It's a new offensive coordinator. It's a complete new everything. It, again, not everybody's McVay and Goff. It's going to take time. Even if you don't think Mariota is great, he's not this bad, is what it comes down to. This offense is not that bad, which is why I'm not complete. That's why I haven't apologized for Derrick Henry yet. I'm giving him time. A couple more weeks and he may make amends. Not gonna lie, But if you could, because before the season, with all of that, you know, playoff game hype, Corey Davis was going for, I mean, I had him at not the 101 because of Baquon, but more than the 102. He was a multiple firsts guy. Now it's not going to be even close to that, I don't think. So, yeah, I'm completely with you. I think if you could find that disgruntled guy who drafted him and just hasn't let go yet, I finally just now let go of Corey Coleman. That just shows how long people will hold on to a guy just because they drafted him high.
Sure.
But if you can throw a first and some change at the Corey Davis owner, and if he's frustrated enough, or if he was hoping by now to get production out of Corey Davis, go get Corey Davis, because the dude's good and someone eventually will get that guy the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's where I am too. Again, just, you know, capitalizing on the frustration that an owner may be experiencing with him and the fear about that offense and buying the talent. I mean, right now you're buying the talent is all you're buying based on the belief that Corey Davis is a talented asset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just tend to gravitate towards talented players, like most of us do. So, and then my third guy here, and this is a guy that I'm really happy for, and I'm really excited about, and that's Mike Williams in LA with the Chargers. And this is a guy that struggled a lot with injuries. He was hurt in college. He had a really serious neck injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he had some pretty serious stuff there in his rookie season as well. He only played in 10 games last year and didn't make a lot of noise in those games. So far this year, though, he's up over 80 yards receiving in two of the three games. He has three touchdowns through three games. And he's the wide receiver, too, in L.A. For the Chargers right now. Yeah. We were both big on Tyrell.
I still love the player.
I do too. I do too. I think he's an undervalued guy, and I think that he's a guy. He's one of those guys that we talked about that's going to be a free agent.
Yes.
And I think that's good for him, and I also think it's good for Mike Williams.
Yes.
Because, you know, the targets that Tyrell is getting now, which is less than what Mike is getting, they will, you know, spill over, and he'll get, you know, Mike Williams should get some more of those moving forward. So, but yeah, this guy, I mean, he's a big, strong, fast wide receiver. You know, 6'4", 220. So he's in that big wide receiver mode. I don't think he's quite as fast as some of the other guys like Julio and Michael Thomas, guys like that. But he's caught, you know, he's caught the balls that have been thrown his way for the most part, and he's producing and he's scoring in the red zone. He's definitely a red zone target, and Rivers has looked for him there. So I like this guy. I like Mike Williams. I'm happy for him. You know, he was a guy that a lot of people wrote off last year.
Guilty.
You know, after dealing with the injuries and then not producing in the games that he was playing in, and he's had a really nice start to the season. So hopefully he can maintain that. Mm-hmm. But he's a guy that if you can get, you know, he was a mid first round pick in the rookie draft. Year
he was after those big running backs,
right? And you know, if you can get him for a late first, even a mid first. At this point, I'd be willing to pay that now that I've seen him produce in a few games. He's only 23 years old, and he's got Phillip Rivers for a couple years anyways, this year, next year. So Mike Williams is another guy that I'm getting higher and higher on and that I think is a good buy right now.
Awesome. That was a lot of good players. We did good again, as always. All right.
Help, high five.
Wait, we have cameras. High five the camera.
Yeah.
Bam. All right. So that was our keep, trades, and buys, our main segment. So now we're going to dig a little deeper into Calvin Ridley. Now, Calvin Ridley scored a lot of points on my bench last week, which
You didn't need him anyways.
Oh, yeah. I crushed Brian in Trade Addicts, too. Sorry, bro. Not sorry. Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
I think any time that anybody uses hashtag sorry, not sorry, they should have to recite the song.
Is it bad that I don't know the song?
I know who sings the song. I don't really know the song though either.
All right, we're just gonna move on.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Calvin Ridley, this is one of those things where everyone thought that he was going to come in. He was going to be a wide receiver too. He played that first game and did he get a target that first week? Like, I think it was like one or if none, something that super bad. And then all of a sudden, kaboom. And he was drafted super flex leagues, like at the end of the first, just because of the five or six quarterbacks that came in. And now people kind of want to sell because they think they can get something earlier. I'm curious what you think the actual value of Calvin Ridley is right now, assuming you probably just spent like the 110 on him.
Yeah. So I've been higher. I've been higher on Ridley than a lot of guys. Even going back to the offseason here with, you know, rookie drafts and all of that. I think I saw him go legitimately as late as the 205.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I think where you had him, the 110, I think that's about probably right. One in super, especially in super flex.
Yeah.
I think the 110, 111 is, you know, is about right. And I would say that his value is probably the same for me. I don't think he's the guy that caught zero passes for zero catches in week one.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think he's a seven catch, 146 yard, three touchdown guy though either.
Well, yeah.
At weekly. So, you know, the game he had week two is kind of more what I had anticipated, maybe a couple more receptions, but something like six catches, 60 some yards, and maybe a touchdown every 3 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen the Atlanta offense, not including crazy good year 2 years ago or whenever that was, keep up with two wide receivers. I mean, this thing from Roddy to Julio, there was a time where they were both useful for the, like, yep, the first 2 years of Julio's career before Roddy just went right off that cliff. And I mean, let's be honest, Ridley's a lot better than Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to say that last year, the year before, that it was just Julio and or nothing, I mean, there was nothing. That's the problem. I think Ridley was good coming out. He, I think, had one of those problems where he was too good for too long, so people just started finding those issues, and then someone like DJ Moore came on the scene where he's the new hotness.
Well, so, and his age played into that too.
That's right. Ridley's a little older.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, whatever. I'm not that much of an ageist.
I'm not either.
He's not that. He's not like Kelvin Benjamin, like grandma old. So it's whatever. I think Calvin Ridley is a, I mean, I don't know if I would buy him right now. Every week, the past 2 weeks, I've been throwing out on Twitter, you know, let me know the trades you've made since the past week. Mm-hmm. Just because if someone comes at me with a trade of someone we're going to talk about, I figured might as well get some real stuff out here. Christopher Svoboda at the Svoboda DHH sold Ridley for two 2019 firsts.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
I used the Friday, damn, GIF in a reply. I don't want to sell Ridley. If someone came at me with two firsts, I think I'd be doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would definitely take that value.
But honestly, I don't know if I would sell him for less. I don't know. I can't imagine what coming at me at a first random first value would make me be like, all right, I think I need to just move off of Calvin Ridley. Like, okay, drawing the, you know, anything kind of player related is too team specific, so it's tough to bring up. But like, if someone said, hey, here's a projected mid first, which is the worst because I hate playing that guessing game, especially this early in the season. But like, you just spent a late first on Ridley. Are you going to sell him for a mid first coming up in this draft?
Probably not.
Like, even knowing what this draft is, I mean, you're going to hope they turn into what Ridley's doing right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sorry, go.
No, that makes sense. I mean, I think that makes sense. You know, if you own him, you want more than what you got, especially after week three, right?
Yep.
So I think a first is too much, but you know, a mid first and a second.
I mean, compiling that value, yeah, maybe that's right. I just, that doesn't move me to do it.
Yeah. Well, let's I'm going to shift gears here with Ridley. Sure. So I do want to make something very, very clear. Calvin Ridley is not the wide receiver one in Atlanta. So stop it. Twitter.
Are you seeing that?
Yes.
No,
a lot. Yeah. Multiple people. Multiple actually.
Are these the people that actually believe? Yeah, go ahead. That's what I was going to say.
Hashtag never Julio, right?
Yeah, the people that actually believe hashtag never Julio is for real.
Yeah. Julio had a horrible game. 5 catches, 96 yards, 15 fantasy points. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, people, Julio Jones, the expectations on that dude from the fantasy community are just ridiculous. They're ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they act, you know, the guy has not finished worse than wide receiver 7 in 5 years. This is the fifth year. This, if he does it this year, it'll be the fifth year. So, last 4 years, worst he's finished is wide receiver 7. 1,400 yards over each of those 4 years. I mean, just that. I don't want to.
All right. Yeah. We should probably just move on.
But Julio Jones is the wide receiver one in Atlanta. Don't get this mixed up after 1 week from Calvin Ridley. I think Calvin Ridley is the best receiver that's played across from him since Roddy White, for sure.
Right. Pre-Cliff, Roddy White.
Right. And I think long term, that's going to help Julio.
Yes.
Because, you know, defenses are shifted to his side of the field on every single play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Ridley keeps producing the way he has, defenses are going to have to make adjustments and not lean so heavily to the Julio Jones side, and that's going to open things up for Julio. He's proven he can catch the ball in double coverage. He's done it for, you know, 4 years. So, but yeah, I mean, I think Ridley's emergence helps that whole offense. But I don't think that what happened in week three should be an expectation of him whatsoever.
Yeah. Word. All right. Cool. Let us move on to our Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues, 12 teams, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium. I think we are part of all of these. We are part of all of these.
Yep.
So let's start with Trade Addicts 2. I love this trade. Alex Collins for Tyler Lockett. Now, Alex Collins was one of my boys since preseason. Tyler Lockett, he's a Seahawk, so he's my boy by default. So Twitter agrees, super even on this one, 56% to 44% Alex Collins side. This is super even, especially with Doug Baldwin out. Tyler Lockett, I don't know if anyone saw him being this much of the guy. I mean, yeah, he's still catching a couple of deep balls, which is where he's getting a lot of his yardage from, but he's still getting a lot more targets and a lot more production than even I thought he would get just because Doug Baldwin's out. Like, I thought it would be a running back and tight end galore target fest because, I mean, Baldwin gets those mid-range targets, but Lockett's getting his. And Alex Collins, I love. I don't care how much work Buck Allen is getting or how much Harbaugh says that he's the kind of guy we like, you know, crud, whatever. Alex Collins is going to be the guy as the season goes on. He's going to get more. He's going to get his touchdowns. To me, awesome trade, completely on value. It's whatever your team needs. If I had to choose, I'd have to ride with the Alex Collins train just because I've been on it for so long. Which side was yours?
Yeah, I was the one receiving Alex Collins in this deal. And I feel the same way you do about it. I think it's a super fair trade that made sense for both teams. The one thing I will say, this league does award return yardage.
Truth. I forgot to factor that in.
Yeah. So Tyler Lockett is a little bit more valuable in this league as well because of that. So, but yeah, I mean, this trade was offered to me and I didn't feel the need to
do
anything to it. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I thought it was a fair deal. I thought it made sense for both of us.
And I took the deal, you know, and I think both of us are, you know, both the owners involved here are pretty happy about it. I know I am. And I'm pretty sure the other guy is too. So these are the type of trades that are the ones that are everybody leaves feeling good. So,
yeah. Yep. Speaking of leaving trades feeling good, this next one was Trade Addicts 3. This one was one of mine. Kerryon Johnson and Austin Ekeler for Kenny Golladay and Matt Breda. Since this was mine, I'll let you talk a little first.
Yeah. So when I first saw this, I thought it was pretty fair.
Mm-hmm.
So the Kenny Golladay hype train is in full effect again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is going to be Megatron is the, the, you know, hashtag Babytron, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's back. Like, whoever bought in previously is back. It's on, man. Kenny Golladay is, you know, I mean, he is a guy that if, you know, people are paying for right now. So, you know, I'll start with that. And mm-hmm. I do like Golladay a lot. And I think his situation could even improve more here with, you know, Tate's contract is coming up. I don't mm-hmm. know if he's going to leave. And we've talked about that before, too.
But I don't think that matters for Galladay's targets.
Yeah. And I really don't either. I think long term, they could always move Tate into the slot, too. You know, as he gets older.
Full time, yeah.
Right. Exactly. So. But I like the other side here too. I like Johnson a lot. I like Kerryon mm-hmm. Johnson. I think, you know, he has looked really good.
Yep.
In the preseason, in the regular season, he hasn't gotten a lot of opportunities, but he's done a lot with his opportunities. So
first 100 yard rusher for the Lions in 7 years.
Yeah, and People obviously, I mean, obviously this week, you know, that's the big news. And I think people are caught up in that now this week because it's been so long. Mm-hmm. But his yards per carry average is like insane. He's averaging like 6 yards a carry or something like that, or five. I don't know what it is exactly. I probably should look that stuff up before I throw numbers out, but he's getting chunk yardage
mm-hmm.
When he's touching the football. So that's, you know, I like seeing that out of a running back. And he yep. did this, you know, he's really young. He's only 21 years old.
Wow.
He's, you know, he was ultra productive in the hardest conference to run in the SEC in college football. You know, so yeah, he's averaging 5.6 yards per carry.
Nice.
This is another one of those trades. I guess for me, the reason I would lean slightly, very, very, very slightly, I think this is a very fair trade, but I'd lean slightly towards the Golladay side just because I'd probably look to flip him because it's just going to get worse. If he has another couple of big games, his value is going to skyrocket. So that's, right. I'd lean that side slightly, mm-hmm. but I think that, and then the fact that Matt Breda is, you know, leading the league in rushing right now.
All right. The way I look at this, I'll try and keep it to a pure value standpoint. To me, Ekeler equals Breda. I mean, they're pretty much what they are. Boom, bust, depending on game script, whatever. To me, I just sort of crossed them off. So I had to think Kerryon or Kenny. To me, I mean, Kenny Golladay, especially with the hype train, is worth more. That's what it comes down to. I mean, if you want to throw some team narrative, I'm loaded at running back on this team. So wide receiver help is always nice. And Kerryon, I didn't even start him this week and the week he goes for his 100 yards. So it's getting rid of Kerryon. The only reason it makes me sad because this was my only share. But to me, the value was on the Golladay side. And even if it wasn't, I want to tell you how at FF Trader Joe played me like a harp for this trade. I asked it last week. I asked him what Kenny Golladay was worth, and he was full on hype training me. He's like, really, man, Kenny Golladay right now, I know you're offering me stuff that equals a first, but he's got to be worth more than that, like two firsts. And I'm like, no thanks, man. And then he comes back at me with something pretty much like this. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to get pretty much Galladay for Kerryon. Kerryon was just a mid first. I'm getting him cheap. And I mean, to be fair, it's not like I walked into a trap. I knew, like, I laughed and I'm just like, all right, this is probably what's happening, but I'm okay with it.
Right.
But like, seriously, especially if you're dealing with someone like me, that crap works. I'm not smooth enough to pull that off. And I usually know I'm falling for it and I don't always care. And I think I'm just riding on this Twitter win because I don't think it should be this far apart. To me, this is almost exactly even value-wise. But no, I love this trade. Again, we both walked away happy with it. So trade win. Trade win. Speaking of trade wins, Trade Addict 2. Now, we were pretty much procrastinating starting recording the podcast. No real reason. We were just sort of rambling with each other, talking about trades we had offered out in Trade Addicts 2. And we're like, why don't we just do a trade between the two of us? So we did a trade between the two of us.
2 weeks in a row, man. We're going to get a reputation here.
Hey, man. Well, first of all, I was trying to get Godwin from Brian. And then I realized, hey, man, you have Mike Evans. Hey, you have DeSean Jackson. You have all three Tampa Bay receivers. I'm taking one of them off your hands. And DeSean Jackson is just the easiest to go at because, first of all, he's wearing his Penn State hat. So we know he's a Chris Godwin guy. And who isn't a Mike Evans guy? A lot of people, but we know both of us are. Yes. So I was going to go after DeSean Jackson. So I said, what do you need? He said, I'll take Chris Thompson. So I said, I mean, Chris Thompson's worth a little more. Throw in a third. And he said,
okay.
Okay. That's an exciting story, guys. I walked you down that nice and fast. All right. But okay. First of all, I didn't even consider this at the time, but we get return yardage in this league.
Oh, and that's right.
DeSean Jackson had like an 80-yard touchdown called back. Yeah. That would have changed his like 6-point game from last week.
Yeah, you son of a gun.
These are the trades. These are the trades I love. These are two guys which are kind of game script dependent, can both be sort of bottom of your startup, where if you have a good team, you throw these guys on to make you unbeatable when the weeks they go off, which, I mean, I was about to say worked for me, but Chris Thompson put up like 2.4 points and 2.4 points in my light up, and I still crushed you. So again,
you have to play me again. So you.
Oh no, I'm going to trash talk until then. Cause if I lose, what's the fun in that? Trash talking is fun until you can't do it anymore. So whenever you can, you do it.
That's right.
So yeah, to me, this was pretty spot on. Chris Thompson, I think, is worth a little more age. He's still, even in a bad game script, well, technically in a good game script, bad for him game script, is a bit more part of the script. Man, couldn't think of a better word. Game plan. There you go. It's still more of a game plan than DeSean Jackson, who is pretty much a deep ball guy. So this was pretty even. I just wanted to see if I can get him to throw in a third, and he did. So rock on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this was another good one. This is a couple. We're inching towards that big boy trade. We got to do a couple of these baby trades, and you know, we'll get there. We're gonna throw a blockbuster down here one of these days.
No, what we're gonna do? We were saying before, a very big theme we've had through all of these podcasts was communication is super important when it comes to trades.
Yep,
and the more immediate the response you can get, the better.
Absolutely.
Back and forth through offers is one thing. Emailing is a little better. Messaging, either through text or through GroupMe, whatever you got, DMs, even better. We were sitting here talking, quote unquote, face-to-face because we're talking on Hangouts Live. And it, back and forth, happened in like 3 minutes because we were joking around. Like, let's say we're messing each other. I throw some guy an offer and it takes him 3 minutes to respond. Did he have to go pee? Did he have to walk away from his computer? Is he really sitting there thinking about it? Or did I offer him something that's so in his favor that he needs to like not act too quickly, that he's just sitting on it?
Right.
you know, Brian brought up the point, you could see the person's face be like, all right, no, they're not thrilled by that. Let's see what else we can do. Oh man, wait, let me backtrack real quick, because he seems way too happy about that. You know, it's clearly talking face to face isn't a reality with all of your Twitter leagues, but any sort of communication is just makes trading so much A, easier, B, fun.
More fun. Absolutely. Yep, definitely.
All right, that's the end of our show sheets. That's the end of our show. This was, I think, a little shorter than normal, especially with the amount of stuff I'm going to have to edit out because my brain blanked. You couldn't find stats you were looking for. So hopefully after I edit it, it sounds wonderful. All right. So good night, ladies and gentlemen. I have no parting words of wisdom. Again, there was no banter at the beginning. There's not going to be no banter at the end. I'm going to go to bed. Good night, Brian.
Good night, Outhouse.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod and follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Haar FF. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Have a nice day, and we will see you next time on the Trade Addicts Podcast.